أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. As we are approaching the month of Ramadan in less than 10 days, we will be in the month of Ramadan, I think it is well worthy to start discussing matters related to the month of Ramadan in order to help us prepare mentally, and hopefully that leading to us being a little more prepared spiritually for the month of Ramadan. The Holy Prophet, for that reason at least, would give sermons, the last sermon, the last Friday, which would be the last largest gathering of people coming together and congregating before the beginning of the month of Ramadan. He would give a sermon related to the month of Ramadan. A few points that come to mind from that sermon that I think we need to focus on and think about, and hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enlighten us with them, is that the Prophet said, what is approaching you is Shahrullah. Shahrullah. Let's take a few minutes to just try to absorb a little bit what that means. Every month is a month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All months belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All time belongs to Him. It's His creation. It's His. There isn't a time that's not His. There isn't a month that's not His. There isn't a solar month or a lunar month that's not His. Time belongs to Allah. What we extract time from, which is the movement and the motion of the earth and the moon and the sun, these are the three elements that we extract time from. The 24-hour time of day is the earth rotating around its own axis, and then the rotation of the earth around the sun is the solar year. It gives you the months and the year, and the rotation of the moon around the earth gives us, in relation to the sun, that's also involved, gives us the lunar months and the lunar year. All of that belongs to Allah. The sequence of it, the time it takes, the very precise timing of that movement is dictated and governed by Allah, made by Allah. It comes around every year by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single month, the month of Sha'ban, the month of Rajab, Muharram, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hajjah. But out of the months, this is the month that the Prophet says, this is Shahrullah. Okay. Similar to the fact that all land and all of what we see on earth, all homes, all buildings, all construction, as well as the construction material, and everything basically, everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the Kaaba as Baytullah. Why? Why is that called Baytullah? The house of God. This is, they call idhafatu tashrif. It is to give us, or it refers to the status of that, whatever it is. In the case of Baytullah, the Bayt, the house, it tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that piece of land and the structure that was built by His order and is kept by His order in the shape that it is up to today, from the beginning of time, from the time of Adam all the way up to today, it has been there. At times, the structure has not been there, but the sacredness of the land and Hajar al-Aswad and so on and so forth, that is a great land that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it that honor. And He's telling us that by calling it Baytullah and now Shahrullah. It's the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That phrase right there should tell us enough about it in terms of importance for us to realize. One of the things that we need to be reminded of is not to take things lightly. I know we enjoy the blessings of the month of Ramadan. There are many blessings that come with the month of Ramadan. And inshallah, if with the blessing of Allah, the condition that we are in is removed from us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieves us, we will experience more of that. The getting together, the having iftar together, the family time, it's a certain environment that we experience in the month of Ramadan, and everybody does, that is very memorable. All those things are great, but that is not what makes the month of Ramadan Shahrullah. The Prophet explains that in this month we are guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're always guests of Allah. We're always being blessed by blessings from Him without us deserving them. Meaning there's nothing in us. We don't own anything for us to say, okay, I deserve a certain treatment from Allah. No, it's always being given to me, to us, to everyone for free. So we're the guests and we are being blessed by His blessings. We're in a sense always the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet tells us that in this month you're a special guest. He's your host. In the other months, although when you analyze it, you are His guest and He is hosting you, He is providing for you, He's giving you everything you have. But He's saying that this month I'm your host. That tells you this is a special, again, situation here. But what is it that He is blessing us with? He says fasting. Usually when we go to people's homes as a guest, what we're given is food to eat. Things that we enjoy. This particular gathering, this sufra, this session or this meeting with the Lord that He is hosting us is different. What is presented on this is fasting, abstinence from eating and drinking and the material joy, the other things that we're supposed to be avoiding during the month of Ramadan, during the day while we're fasting. This is a host, if we want to look at that very small example that is given to us, every day, every month, all the time we are guests of Allah. Allah provides us with material sustenance. Here, the special blessing comes to us by or through avoiding the material blessing. It says, I give that to you, and you're free to take what you like during the day, at night, any time of day. During this month, it is an obligation. You have to avoid these blessings of halal that I have given you from Fajr time to sunset or around sunset during the day. From when the beginning of day, in a sense, is the crack of dawn all the way until the end of day. I want you to avoid that. The blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, He wants to be your host, is given to you through abstinence, through avoiding and staying away from food, drink, these material blessings that He has given us. What is it that is going to come to us by avoiding these things? Well, He's the host. Usually when you visit someone, There are times where we're hosted by someone, we don't know the person, they treat us as guests. The purpose of that is to take care of us. For example, if we're en route to Karbala and everyone, inshallah, gets the opportunity to go for the walk, people host you. You go to the person's house, it's a believer, you don't know who they are. They don't know who you are either. The only thing they know is that you're one of the Zuwar al-Hussein, one of the visitors of Imam al-Hussein. And they want to host you. When you go there, the objective, and when he brings you there, the objective is, well, you're going to be taken care of, you're going to be able to rest, you're going to have some food, you'll have some water, they'll provide all of that for you. There really isn't much about spending time with that individual. But there's times when you visit someone, when someone is your host, the objective of the gathering, or the reason why you go there, is the host himself, not what food they're going to provide for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran that He is granting us a blessing that other creatures, other creations of His are not given, and that is the blessing of being near Him, being with Him. That's the ultimate blessing that we can receive. In the month of Ramadan, He says, I'm going to be your host. I'll give you something that will help you. So the purpose of that time and Him hosting us is not for us to be busy with these other side elements of the month of Ramadan, the special foods, dishes, sweets that we enjoy in the month of Ramadan. Those are not the objectives. There's nothing wrong with them. I'm not saying that we should stop any of that or any of that is bad. By no means. It's great. It's a good starter. It makes us remember. And for someone that is so material like myself, some of the things we look forward to the month of Ramadan are those things. But we should realize that that's not the objective of the month of Ramadan. What we are supposed to be doing in the month of Ramadan is spend time with the host. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us attention. One of the things that a host does for his guests is give them attention. Okay, there's special attention given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this time. Do we want to be busy paying attention to his blessings or to he himself? Do we want to occupy our minds and thoughts with material blessings or even spiritual blessings in the form of, I don't know, elevations, paradise, being with whoever? Do we want to keep ourselves busy with that, or do we want to focus on the one who is the creator of all of that, the one who gives all of those blessings? His attention as the host is on us. We have the choice. And what I think we get from the khutbah of the Holy Prophet before the beginning of the month of Ramadan, and understanding the verses and ahadith related to the beginning of the month of Ramadan, is to take advantage of this month. Allah is giving us special attention. Let's give Allah special attention as well. And giving Allah special attention is an internal process. It has to do with my inner state, the state of my heart with Allah, not what I speak to others. One of the mistakes we make is talk a lot, chatter a lot about this stuff, about what I do or what I want to do or what I did, where my mind is, what my heart is, what my feelings are towards that stuff. There's a account, just to tell you what some of our urafa have said. There was one of the scholars that is known as an arif, I won't mention his name because this is not a very good thing that I'm saying. He's still known as an Arif. Atla Khushvacht was in that individual. They went to Allama Tabatabai for their spiritual sessions and lessons together. And Atla Khushvacht had gone to Allama Tabatabai before this individual had. Later on in their older age, this, I guess, co-student or this brother that was in the same class with Atla Khushvacht going to Allama Tabatabai, there were a few of them. This individual was interviewed by one of the periodicals, I believe it was a newspaper in Iran, some time ago, maybe about 20 years ago, a little less probably, about maybe between 15 and 20 years ago. It was an interview, and in that interview he had been asked, and he shared, that individual that is referred to as an Arif, he had shared his feelings, his experiences. For example, he had said that in the early days that we were with Allama Tabatabai, the feelings we got were such that when, meaning he said, I got, he was talking about himself, not about others, that I would be walking in the streets and just anything I saw was a sign of Allah, and that just made my heart tremble and I would cry. He shared that experience and other things as well. And then he said that there was a dream I had. In the dream, I saw another classmate of mine, or a classmate of mine with Allama Tabatabai, whose name is Aziz. And Aziz is Ayatullah Khushvacht. His name is Azizullah Khushvacht. He said, I saw this individual extending an arm from above to me and telling me to grab a hold of my arm and my hand. He said, I told the next day when I woke up, I told Allama Tabatabai this. Some of the people who knew Ayatollah Khushvacht and knew of his past and who he was with and so on, when they read that article, they were intrigued. And this is another thing. We get intrigued and we get curious, interested in knowing some of these things without being interested in the goals, the objectives. These things are intriguing to us. We like to read about them. We like to discuss them, but we don't really want to take any serious steps, and that's the unfortunate thing. Let me not get sidetracked here. They got interested and intrigued. They went to Atla Khushvacht and they read this article from beginning to the end. I heard this from a teacher of mine who used to be a student of Atla Khushvacht. He said, I wasn't there, but my friends that were there, they said, they read the whole thing. Atla Khushvacht was just sitting there, just looking up as usual. And he heard the whole thing. We were expecting them, once the article at least is done, that he's going to say something. So the article was done. He just got up and went to the bathroom. And after the bathroom, there's only one thing he said. He said, if he had taken my hand, he wouldn't have said these things. Okay. You shouldn't share your experiences. We don't really have any of those types of experiences. I guess I'm speaking from my own experience. Maybe some of you do. But whatever experience that we feel is a blessing from Allah, is spiritual, we're not supposed to share it. We're not supposed to tell everybody about it and talk to everybody about it. If we are trying to get closer to Allah, one of the important secrets of that path is secrecy, is keeping the mouth shut, is not telling others. The nafs wants to discuss these matters. The nafs doesn't want to keep that in. The nafs, that desire to show off, is not only in the material realm and material blessings, which unfortunately we deal with. When it comes to spiritual things, we have a serious problem with that as well. Keep it, if God has blessed us with something, we have to keep it to ourselves. If we were blessed with doing a dua, a ziyarah, a special feeling, a tear, a cry for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, shedding tears in repentance to Allah, doing the night prayer, whatever it is, hide it. That's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's shared with others, more than likely it is shared because of the nafs. The effect of that is I will lose that blessing. Riya, as we have in the Holy Quran a little reference to it in regards to sadaqat, which is generally inclusive of mustahabbat as well. Sometimes there's riya at the beginning, and when I'm doing the action, I'm doing riya. And the whole purpose, the whole objective of me doing something is to show off to others. That's one form of riya. Sometimes when I'm doing it, I'm careful. Oh, I made sure nobody knows. It's between me and Allah. I'm doing it for Allah. Later on, shaitan comes in and gets into us and wants us to share it with others. That makes it riya. It ruins the effects of the act. It's according to at least some of our ulama, there isn't really a difference between when initially doing it, having that ill intention, or later on developing that ill intention towards it. They will both ruin the action. It's not done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With some of these pointers in mind, we hope and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq this year to do His ibadah. Ibadah is not doing acts. It's not abstinence from food and drink. The essence of ibadah is the intention, the thought process, what's in the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this many times in the Quran in different ways. I don't want to discuss some of the examples that are there. I think we've shared some of them before. But we ask Him to give us and bless us with the ability to be engaged in real ibadah. Ibadah means being His slave, seeing that we have nothing of ourselves, no decision, no nothing. We act according to what He says, want what He says, desire what He says, and move in the direction that He wants, inshallah. One last thing that is important in this regard, in this session, that we will mention in regards to the month of Ramadan, that what's the ma'sumin have been asked, what's the best action in the month of Ramadan? And people get involved with, you know, that question. They want to do things, they want to do extra a'mal, they want to do different things. There's a feeling, and when we hear that it's such a great month, such a great time, you want to do more, okay, what do I do? Everybody asks that. The clearest and most important answer that we've received from the Ahlul Bayt is Al-Wara'un Maharamillah. Being extra careful regarding sins. In fact, the Quran says that Kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. The desired objective of the fast, the abstinence from eating and drinking and those other items on the list, which will get us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that desired effect of it on us that will get us closer to Allah is taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And the first step, as we have in hadith, the more difficult thing is to grab a hold of our reins, the reins of our nafs, to control it, that when there is haram that I desire, I want to do, for whatever desire it is, whatever temptation it is, whatever anger it is, whatever the cause, the motivation that is very strong and it pushes me to do that thing that God has said not to, for me to grab a hold of my nafs and take control and realize before I do something, if God says no, no matter how much I want it, I say no, I'm not going to do this. That's the more initial difficult step of taqwa, and that's why we've been told in the month of Ramadan, be extra careful with regards to sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt that He hastens the return of our Imam. We ask Him to help us become His true and close companions. We ask Allah to help all those who are helping His cause. We ask Him to help especially our ulama, our maraja, and more than all, our leader, And we ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah to grant all of us and all believers worldwide their hajat, their needs, their requests, relieve all of them and all of us from hardships, difficulties, illnesses, and relieve all people from this pandemic, from the difficult conditions that we're in. And inshallah, that ends soon by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt, inshallah. We ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Alih, Rahimallah man qara al fatihata ma'a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Yes, I want to.